Thank you, Mario, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to our session. I know things are coming to a close soon. I'm going to talk to you about Healthy Main Streets. Healthy Main Streets is a program that was developed by MCD Public Health and the Maine Downtown Center of the Maine Development Foundation. MCD Public Health, as Mario mentioned, we're located in Augusta, Maine. We're a public health agency doing a lot of the similar work that you're all doing, trying to improve the health and well-being of people. Through, you know, we do a lot of work with other organizations, developing programs, and providing technical assistance and support to various agencies around Maine. The Maine Development Foundation is an economic and community development organization that got started in 1978 by the Maine State Legislature. And their focus is on, you know, a lot of work to do with workforce development. And three areas of focus have been around education and training, innovation, entrepreneurship, as well as retaining and attaining quality workers. And more recently, they've integrated health and wellness as a core pillar to the work that they're doing around workforce development. One of the programs for the Maine Development Foundation is the Maine Downtown Center. Their focus is on building the local economy through job creation, historic preservation, improved housing, so on and so forth. And they work with over 30 communities across Maine, 11 of which are nationally designated Main Street organizations, part of the National Main Street Center program based out of in Washington, D.C. They also have a number of other communities that are considered network communities. These are, the best way to put that is they're communities building their capacity to be nationally designated as a Main Street. Kind of a key difference is the ones in yellow, the Main Street ones, have a paid executive director. The other ones are led by a group of volunteers and or housed out of the local municipality. So it kind of makes a difference, as you'll see later on in some of the work that we're doing. The Maine Downtown Center has the My Green Downtown Initiative. As you see, there are four core principles. What I'd like to do is draw your attention to the Healthy Communities piece. Sort of that's where our Healthy Main Street program is sort of built out of, if you will. Healthy Main Streets is our focus is around working with small businesses, primarily businesses that employ fewer than 20. I think the U.S. coins small business as under 500, but that's few and far between in Maine, especially rural Maine. And 96% of businesses in our country employ fewer than 50. So what we've been trying to do is find a way to support small employers to look at, you know, health at their workplace. And we've developed a model where we support those employers, but we are bringing them together in a downtown location to work together to address not only the individual workplace needs, but also the community health needs as well. The Healthy Main Streets is funded through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Small Community Transformation Grant. We received $1.6 million, but prior to that, some folks have mentioned to me that they heard a little bit about this last year in San Francisco. The Maine Health Access Foundation, about 4 or 5 years ago, gave us some funding to do the initial pilot. And so Healthy Main Streets is actually a replication project 19 times over. And so it's something that's expanding and that's something that we'd love to see take on sort of on a national scale because it's very replicable in any community. I'm not going to go into too much detail about the challenges, but anyone here work with small businesses? So you probably can understand, you know, how do you engage a small business owner in trying to think about employee health? It's not an easy thing to do. It's not that they don't want to do it or see the value, it's how they're going to do it. You know, how are they going to pay for it? How much time are they going to be able to put into it? They're so busy at trying to make payroll for that week that sometimes this doesn't take precedent. And like I said, it's not because it's not important, it's just because with everything else going on, there's so many competing priorities. But over the last few years, many opportunities have come about to support this. And we've really taken advantage of what is available out there to really help small businesses think about this strategically and to start to engage them in employee health promotion. I love this slide because I think it tells a good story. Most businesses, larger businesses, got into employee health management to do what? Address escalating healthcare costs, right? So it's sort of the primary driver. But what we found over time is, as many of you know, there's sort of some other things that come about when we address health. The reality is that poor health costs a business a lot of money, both in medical and pharmacy costs, but more so in lost productivity, in particular around absenteeism and presenteeism. Absenteeism, pretty self-explanatory, you know, not at work. Presenteeism, you're at work, but you know, your health is impacting your ability to either do your job, attend to the task, let's say, or maybe increase risk of workplace injury, among other things. So when we're trying to figure, you know, it's all great, you know, business owner thinks it's important, but you know, what's in it for them? Why should they focus on this? And the reality is that, you know, even if a small business does provide health insurance, which in Maine, 41% of small businesses provide health insurance. So there's a large number that do not. Businesses with 50 or fewer employees are community rated. So even if they were to invest in health and they were the healthiest workplace in Maine, their premium rates aren't going to they're not going to go down. They're going to be based on the greater community around them. So there's no real return on investment, if you will, when we're looking at the relationship between, you know, is this going to do anything for health insurance or not? But they are seeing a huge value in the productivity side. And they're also seeing a huge value, too, in, gosh, I can't give them health insurance, but I can help support the health in other ways. And so it's another way of looking at a different type of benefit that they can provide. Worksite wellness sometimes, you know, there's studies out there that, you know, show, does it really show return on investment? We know that there's a lot of research that does support it as well, but what we do know is that in order to achieve that, we need to do it right. We need to have a very strategic approach. And so what we do is we follow this framework here and leading them through this process. And from the very onset of, hey, do you want to come play with us? We're talking about leadership support, what that looks like, what that sounds like, what that means, to really help them understand, you know, what it takes to make this happen. And then, you know, we're doing all the other things. We're asking them to gather and analyze their data, and we're helping them and giving them tools to help them do that. They're using that data to develop their plan. They use it, the plan that they're developing includes evidence-based and best practice approaches. They're putting it in place, and then they're measuring the impact of that program over time as well. We're asking them to look at these five approaches. Right now, we just finished year one of this project, so most of the focus has been on the first three. But we see a huge need and an opportunity to address not only the environmental and policy pieces, but also how do we get down to the individual level? How are we helping to reduce risk factors? You know, how do we keep low-risk people low, high-risk people from getting worse, but at the same time, ultimately trying to get them to move down from high to medium to low risk? And so we're encouraging them to look at those opportunities over time. We've used this sort of conceptual picture here to help them sort of see, you know, how are they putting it all together? At the backbone is, you know, the worksite environment, those policy, environmental, systems changes to promote health. But also we're looking at a population health approach in addition to individual support. And so here are some of the ideas that they're looking at when they're looking at their strategies, or developing their strategies, I should say. So Healthy Main Streets. We have 19 communities participating in this. 11 are Main Streets, so they have a paid executive director leading the charge. 8 are network communities, so they're all volunteer-driven. Each community is responsible for recruiting 10 employers. All right, and they don't, actually, I shouldn't say employers. It could be sole proprietors, too. Each community has to form a community wellness committee, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in a second, but their focus is to support the employees. as well as develop initiatives to support the community health and, identify resources or bring resources to the table. In addition, too, the employers are working to address the workplace, their individual business. The Wellness Committee is made up of representatives from each business. The Wellness Committee is also a subcommittee of the existing board of directors for that Main Street organization. This is important because what we've done is we've institutionalized this program into the framework of that Main Street organization. And so when we think about sustainability, this is a key piece that we have set up to ensure long-term sustainability of this project once the funding ends. We also have supporting agencies involved in this as well, Health and Well-Being Partnerships, which are public health coalitions in our state, as well as YMCAs and other local resources to support the committee as well. Here are their focus areas, primarily keying in on physical activity, healthy eating, and tobacco, but also looking at organizationally. How is this implemented? How is this structured, and how do they work? What's important, there's a lot of important things to understand, I keep saying that, but I think what we're finding is that what's going to keep this going on is they're doing the work. We're empowering them to lead the charge. They may be contracting with an organization in their local service area, but they're doing the work, so we're really empowering them and really pushing autonomy. We want them to own this, and we want them to keep it going. You'd love to think when you go out to talk to the businesses, they'd be all over this, right? Wow, you can help me do this? Well, not really, not all of them. Some don't feel like help really belongs to the workplace. It's helped them see that connection. But at the same time, we're seeing a lot of folks really buy into this and really take this on. And I think the key when we're trying to get these businesses to the table is about relationships. The Maine Downtown Center and the Main Street program is they're like the mover and shaker group in these communities. They're already organized. They're already working together. They're already having conversations. It's, okay, how do we change the conversation around health? What does that look like? Here are our communities that are participating in the project. And here's how we're doing so far. We have 19. Our goal was 20. We had 20, but we lost one for different reasons. We actually have 209 employers now. It keeps increasing, which is great. And we have about just over 1,000 employees from the small businesses under 20. So we do have businesses that are larger than 20 participating in it. And it's great because it's a nice complement to the program. 13 of the communities have their work plan approved. 129 have completed their inventories or their worksite assessments. We have about, right now, 62% participation in our survey. We want that to go up. We want to increase that to 80%, so we're trying to get to 800 on that. And then we have 51 employer work plans that have been created. Here's sort of a breakdown of what the employees are looking like. What was surprising to us is the number of full-time employees that are employed by these small businesses. And the industries that they're coming from, the biggest one is retail. You've seen thousands. So this is like we have over 4,700 people taking part in this project. Again, 1,000 of them are from the small business under 20. But most are from retail, followed by healthcare, the banking, financial industry, and then as in municipalities. But we have a pretty decent contrast among many of the different industries in Maine and in these towns, too. Here are the different categories as far as strategies. So the obvious ones are physical activity, healthy eating, and tobacco. They have to do those. But what was fascinating is that they're doing things that they're not necessarily required to do. And we didn't tell them to do that. They chose to do this. Here are some of the strategies that they are putting in place at this time. And this is at the employer level. Okay, so a lot of it, again, their main focus is environmental and policy stuff. But they're also looking at some other things, too, and they're being creative with some of the strategies they're putting in place based on the information that they have. Each community has to they have to submit a work plan, and once they meet all this criteria, we give them $5,000 to help them carry that work plan out. So there is some money to help them do it, but it's not necessarily what we're trying to do is get them to think about things that are sustainable and that will last, but at the same time, we're allowing them to be creative. And here are some of the things that they're doing now to do that. Probably the biggest thing for them is around tobacco. You know, many of these are mixed-use buildings that a lot of these business owners are working in. You get your street-level business. Maybe the second floor is your lawyer. The third floor is a resident. The resident smokes, but they'll come downstairs and they smoke outside the door. And so they're trying to contend with that. So there's, you know, they come up with different strategies and so on. Sustainability is key. And I'll leave it with this. I did pass around a sheet of paper. My contact information is here. I wish I had like another hour. I could go on and on and on. But thank you for listening.